Praise the Lord. It's good to come to you today. And thought in my heart is, you know, if you are turn your eyes upon Jesus, the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his countenance. Let's ask him to bless in the teaching of the word today. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, ask you, Lord, that you would bless as we teach the word today. And God, as we lift up your name in praise, let thy anointing be upon thy lips and upon the hearts and minds and souls of those who receive the teaching today. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to teach today on a thought, my sins, they're gone, gone at last. Songwriter penned the words of that song several years ago, my sins, they're gone at last. The words say, I had a real, real bad time with sin, but thank God they're gone at last. Now in Philippians, in the third chapter, and in verse 13, it says these words. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. If we get in a world with God today, we've got to forget the things that are behind. We've got to fulfill the word of God and remit them to him and ask him to cleanse us, and then we got to forget them. A lot of people, they're our own worst enemy because they just hold on to those sins. They hold on to the guilt of them. And we're going to cover some scriptures that'll open your eyes to that today if you allow the Lord to. You know, we've got to allow the Lord. The Lord can't do anything in our life until we allow him to. But if we allow him to, the Lord can do miraculous things in our life, and we can just, and we can have the victory, and the victory, it is so sweet. Now, in Jeremiah, we find some scriptures, and I want to go there in Jeremiah chapter 31. I want to go there just for a few minutes, and I want to look at this section of scripture. It's Jeremiah 31, and in verse 33, and in verse 34, it gives us an understanding of what I'm talking about here today. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Now, we've heard it said a many a time, and people quote this to be an exact quotation of the Word of God, and they'll say that God has thrown their sins in a sea of forgiveness and remember no more against us. Well, the Bible bears that out, but it don't say it in that exact words. We will look here in the scriptures that lead ahead, but here's one of the scriptures that backs up the fact that he will remember our sins no more. That's Jeremiah 31 and 34. Then in, if we look in Micah, we find another scripture that says in chapter 7, verse 19. Now, these confirm the saying that people make the saying, but I'm real careful not to quote a man saying to say this is what the scripture says. The scripture bears it out, is the word I use a lot of time. And it bears out that God does exactly that. He throws them in the sea, and he remembers them no more against us. And then in Micah, in chapter 7, verse 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all thy sins in the depth of the sea. Now, that's where we get that understanding that he throws our sins in the sea. And that sea is a fact that it's not a sea of forgetfulness, but it's a fact that he does that, and he will remember them no more against us. It's kind of like a lot of the verses that people use and quote. And like I said, I want to make sure what I quote you to be the Word of God, that it can be found word for word, not just there's too much loose conversation about the Word of God, and too many people are saying, well, the Word says this or the Word says that. And when you come right down to it, the Word don't exactly say what they say it says. And you can turn the Scripture any way you want to turn them. It's like the word rapture. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the resurrection and redeemed and all that is. And it bears out the message. So we get real on a higher line when we go to taking our own understanding and saying, well, this is what the Word says, and we can't give a verse and chapter. In these teachings, if anything I've tried to do is I've tried to give people verse and chapter that you can go directly to. If it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion, but I want to give you verse and chapter you can go to. It's like Trinity. There's nowhere in the Word of God that the word Trinity of the Godhead is mentioned, and we have whole doctrines of it. And a big lot of the Christian world is confused about the Trinity. It's not like the Jesus only says. It's not like the nominal and a lot of the Pentecostal churches teach. A lot of them teach three men on three thrones, and that's not exactly what God says. These three, the Bible says, are one, just like we are one with Christ. So God is more than the Trinity. God is you and I in the fullness of God. The Bible says the Lord God Almighty will be the temple in that city. There'll be no need for the light to be any bit of light to be there, because the Lord God Almighty and Lamb is going to be the light. A lot of people's telling me they're going to get to heaven, they're going to see three men sitting on three thrones. You can't prove that by the Word of God. There's three manifestations of God. He's God the Father, He's God the Son, He's God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has the privilege, if I might say it that way, to become what He needs to be. He has the power to transform. But to say that He's a man body, we're using man's doctrine, and we're not fulfilling what exactly the Word of God says. So then we got the other crowd that said all three of them are one, because the Bible says they're one in the Spirit. So if you understand what I'm getting at, I'm not trying to ruffle nobody's feather. I'm just trying to tell you, let's say what verse and chapter says. If you can't prove it by verse and chapter, don't say it, you know, because it's somebody's opinion. And that's what's wrong in the kingdom of God today. We've got too many people that pass an opinion and can't back it up verse and chapter. But yes, God will remember our sins no more. Yes, He will throw them in a sea, and other scriptures bear out that He will remember them no more against us. Then if we get in Romans, and I want to get in Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to go to 6th chapter first. We're going to look at the 8th chapter just in a minute. But I want to look in the 6th chapter and in verse 6. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I don't know where people fail to get this one. It's plain as day. We know that He was crucified. We know that when we get saved, the old man is gone, and we should no longer serve sin. We should get sin out. I mean, sin needs to be literally got out, done away with, and, whosoever nameth the name of the Lord, let him or let her depart from her sins. Then in Hebrews, in the 10th chapter, and I want to find about verse 17 and 10, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and in verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Notice it said their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. So God, when that sin are gone, we're free from it. Thank God we're free from our sins. The devil is the accuser of the brethren both day and night. He will point a finger at you, he will bring your sins up, and he will tell you that you've sinned too much, God's not going to forgive you. But that's a lie according to the Word of God. And according to the Word of God, God's not going to remember them against you, and God's not going to come back up a couple years later and bring those sins up and literally, you know, kick them in your teeth and say, well, this is what you did. You were a sinner, and you're no good. God don't work that way. The Holy Ghost convicts you of your sins, but once you're convicted of your sins, they're forgotten, and you need to forget them too. You need to put them out and say, Lord, I'm cleansed, I'm washed, I'm separated, now I'm free. Then in Romans the 8th chapter, we mentioned that a minute ago, and we want to go to it now. Romans the 8th chapter. And this is a powerful understanding on the thought, my sins are gone at last. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ. And it goes on to explain that Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. Death no longer has no sting. Death has no victory. The grave has no victory because we have been made free from the law of sin and death. See, death is brought about by sin. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, man would not have had to die. God created us to live forever, and only through sin was death brought into the world. Then in 1 John, and I want to take a look at the scripture there in 1 John, and it says in 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sure, this is a great understanding that we need as we come to God, we got to confess them. There again, that's that remittance. If we won't remit it, God can cleanse it. But if we remit it, he will cleanse it. And then in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And then Hebrews in 8 and 12. And I like this verse. It's a powerful verse. Hebrews 8 and 12. And we look into it for the understanding. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God that my sins, they're gone. They're gone at last. And they're not on my record anymore. God can't see them. He won't look at them anymore. They've been covered by the blood. All he can see is the blood stains, and the sins have been covered by those blood stains. And then in Psalms 103, 1 through 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not my all his benefits. Who forgiveth thou iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thou youth is renewed as the eagles. There again, the key verse being verse 3, who forgiveth all of our iniquities. And then in Isaiah, in chapter 43, in verse 25, I am he that blotteth out our transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thou sins. Then in verse 21 and 22 of chapter 44, remember, O thou Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant, I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thou transgressions, and as a cloud thou sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sins are gone. Thank God they're gone at last. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the teaching of the word today. Let it go in hearts. Let it change lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.